From the University of Alaska and College Alaska, this is your university. The largest University of Alaska summer session program is now history. More than 1,500 persons this summer attended instructional activities ranging from special teacher institutes in French, guidance, science, and mathematics, to workshops on Alaska designed to teach people more about our great state. The University of Alaska Summer Sessions program. This is our subject today on This Is Your University. The University of Alaska, like other universities, offers instruction throughout the year. Although the major bulk of students attend school from September to May, a rapidly growing number are attending courses and programs during the summer months as well. This year, more than 1,000 persons were enrolled in credit programs on campus during the summer. The number was 400 more than last summer's enrollment, and well above the total that had been anticipated. What do all these people study? Why do they attend school in the summer? Well, this summer, a large number of students were secondary school teachers, brushing up on their techniques and learning new teaching methods. They came to the university to attend programs especially designed for them. One of these special programs was a Rural Teachers Institute. 50 teachers were enrolled in this unique new course designed to prepare them for teaching in the remote and isolated rural schools of Alaska. The program was conducted by a new training institute established this year at the university under a 5-year grant from the Ford Foundation. Special programs to prepare economically and culturally disadvantaged pre-kindergarten children for the school years ahead were also of interest to many who attended the university this summer. Two workshops were conducted as part of a program known nationally as Operation Head Start. The first workshop was for kindergarten teachers and was designed to help them brush up on the philosophies and goals of Operation Head Start. The second program was designed for paraprofessionals, persons not necessarily experienced in kindergarten work. Many of these people had been sent to the university by village councils or community groups. At the end of the summer, they returned to the villages to establish kindergartens. Two teacher training programs financed by National Defense Education grants were also held this summer. A counseling and guidance institute was geared to help guidance personnel in secondary schools become more proficient in their field. One of the institute's prime objectives was to train these people to work with culturally and economically disadvantaged children. A French institute gave secondary school French teachers an opportunity to sharpen their linguistic skills and to learn the latest language teaching techniques. During the 7-week program, the teachers were not allowed to converse in English, only in French. 38 junior and senior high school teachers attended the granddaddy of summer teaching institutes at the university, the Science and Mathematics Institute, sponsored by the National Science Foundation. The institute, which began in 1957, is designed to increase the subject matter competence of teachers so they can better motivate promising students towards careers in science and mathematics. A 5-day educational television workshop rounded out the summer schedule of teacher training programs. The workshop was conducted for teachers of the North Star Borough to prepare them for the use of educational television in borough schools. Although the teacher training programs represented a major portion of the university's summer schedule, the programs shared the spotlight with other workshops, conferences, and academic events. A short summer session, for example, was attended by 183 students, more than double the enrollment of 1965. The full-length summer session, offering regular college courses, also had a boost in enrollment from 278 students to 310. 100 students of high school age from throughout Alaska participated in a youth leadership conference, and another 75 were enrolled in the Upward Bound program. This program was designed to prepare and motivate secondary school students with economic or cultural handicaps towards a college career. The university also sponsored a summer music camp attended by 90 high school students, a homemakers course attended by 100 Alaskan housewives, and an extensive workshop on Alaska attended by 225 Alaskans and visitors interested in learning more about the state. A second workshop on Alaska drew another 100 tourists and newly arrived Alaskans. And so it went throughout the summer. Both students and teachers involved in a variety of classes, workshops, and special programs. At the summer's end, more than 1,500 persons had attended a summer session event, an indication that the good old summertime is no longer vacation time for both students and teachers at the University of Alaska. This Is Your University is a weekly transcribed presentation offered by this station as a public service. This program has been produced by the University Relations Office of the University of Alaska in cooperation with the University radio station KUAC. The reporter has been Colin Mick.
From the University of Alaska at College, Alaska, this is your university. The heart of every university is its library. The library provides a storehouse of information for the student writing his term paper, for the teacher keeping himself posted on the latest developments in his field, for the research scientist looking for highly specialized technical information, and for the people of the community. It has been said that if every building on a university campus were destroyed, except the library, there would still be a university. This, then, is our story today, the university library. On this is your university. The University of Alaska Library, like the university itself, is growing rapidly. Here today to discuss some of the expanding library programs with us is Mr. Ted Ryberg, Director of Libraries at the University of Alaska. Mr. Ryberg, what are some of the new areas that you're presently working in at the library?
Well, one of the newest programs is our manuscript collections. We have begun a vigorous program of gathering manuscripts concerned with both present and past history of Alaska. Much of this invaluable material is being accidentally destroyed by fire, or is being discarded because people are unaware of its historical value. We are attempting to collect all these papers, diaries, letters, invoices showing prices in Alaska, and so on, and preserve them so they'll be available as a historical record and as research material for future generations. We have also been doing more with microforms, microfilm, microfiche, and microcards. For example, we are now a full depository for publications of the Atomic Energy Commission. We recently received 46,000 AEC reports on microcards, and we will, in the future, receive their reports on microfiche. We are already getting major newspapers, such as the New York Times, on microfilm. It's an excellent way to save space for hard-to-care-for material. Also, we are just about to begin organizing and cataloging many maps that we've been collecting over the years, but which we've not been able to organize because of insufficient staff.
The university enrollment is growing every year. How does this affect the university library?
The increases in enrollment are placing considerable strain on the library facilities. Ideally, a library should be able to provide seating for one-third of its total student enrollment and faculty at any one time. We are now able to accommodate only about one-tenth. With the new teaching methods being employed today, this problem becomes even more acute. More and more emphasis is being placed on independent study and work. A wider variety of research material is necessary than was, say, 10 years ago, or even 5.
Are you able to meet this increasing demand?
Only partially. We have about 140,000 volumes, about 50% of what is needed to support adequately our present academic programs. Our present library was designed to hold only 80,000 volumes, so we have an acute space problem.
Well, what have you been able to do to solve this space problem?
Well, we have decentralized the library. The archives collection has been moved into a classroom, and the documents collection has been transferred to a utilidor near Scarland Hall, about 1/4 mile from the main library. This gives us enough space to hold our present books, although we are bulging at the seams.
How successful have these measures been?
They've not been really successful. They serve as a stopgap measure. We can now seat about 200 people in the library, but we'll have to eliminate seating in the future to make room for new books, which, by the way, are arriving at the rate of about 25,000 per year. I see our time is up, Mr. Ryberg. I'd like to thank you for taking the time to talk with us today. We've been talking with Mr. Ted Ryberg, Director of Libraries at the University of Alaska, on This Is Your University. This Is Your University is a weekly transcribed presentation offered by this station as a public service. This program has been produced by the University Relations Office of the University of Alaska in cooperation with the University radio station KUAC. Your reporter has been Paul Quist. From the University of Alaska at College Alaska, this is your university. One of the oldest research institutes on the University of Alaska campus is the Geophysical Institute, founded by an act of Congress in 1949. The purpose of the institute is to advance knowledge of the Earth and its environment and space. Our story today, the Geophysical Institute, on This Is Your University. The Geophysical Institute has grown rapidly since its inception in 1949. Today, it is a recognized world center for the study of geophysics. Here today to discuss some of the Institute programs with us is Professor Keith Mather, Director of the Institute. Professor Mather, welcome to our program. I'm certain almost everyone in Alaska has heard of the Geophysical Institute, but few people actually know what you do. Could you tell us something of the Institute's current research program?
Well, most of our work is concerned with the upper atmosphere, the sun, and of course the space between the Earth and the sun. Actually, quite a bit of our study is directed towards the sun itself, since our work is dependent on its activity. By activity, I mean solar flares and sunspots.
Why is that?
Well, because the sun emits electrically charged particles, and when these particles strike the Earth's atmosphere, they create quite a bit of disturbance. One of the most common disturbances is the aurora. That's well known to everyone in Alaska. The particles also create disturbances in the Earth's magnetic field and in the upper atmospheric layer known as the ionosphere. The ionosphere is responsible for reflecting shortwave radio signals so they can be used for long-range radio communication. When the ionosphere becomes disturbed, it doesn't properly reflect these signals, and we have what is known as a radio blackout, a quite common occurrence in the Arctic during solar activity. We are presently studying the relationship of these charged particles to the Earth's atmosphere and the magnetic field.
Well, how do you study this relationship?
One method is through the study of the aurora itself. We have a series of all-sky cameras and also fast television cameras situated in Alaska. These cameras photograph the entire sky, recording the auroral activity. We're also using some rocket-borne instruments, and we're participating in satellite experiments to study the upper atmospheric layers. at present, the rockets are being fired from Fort Churchill in Canada, but we are now conducting a study for NASA to determine the feasibility of establishing a rocket range north of Fairbanks here.
Well, what practical use does all of this work have?
One of the very practical aims, especially during the Institute's work in the 1950s, was the improvement of radio propagation across the Arctic. Today, an understanding of the emission of particles from the sun is vitally important to the safety of human beings in space. Detection of nuclear explosions in the atmosphere and space is another aspect.
Well, what other fields are you currently investigating at the Institute?
Yes, we also engage in meteorological work, studying local phenomena such as ice fog, the processes of snowfall, rain, and hail. We're also studying some solid earth physics in fields such as seismology and volcanology and glaciology. The seismology, of course, is very important because Alaska lies in one of the most active earthquake areas of the world. We have established now a series of seismic stations near Alaskan towns, and we're currently studying earth movement and earthquakes. We hope that through these studies, someday, we will be able to predict earthquakes and minimize disasters such as the Good Friday earthquake of 1964. And incidentally, these seismic studies also provide useful background information for the detection of underground nuclear explosions.
Well, that sounds like a tremendous amount of work. How large a staff do you have, and what's your annual budget?
The staff number's about 200. This includes some 30 professors and also about 30 graduate students working on advanced degrees. Our annual budget is about $3 million, and approximately 90% of this comes from the federal government in the form of grants and research contracts.
Well, do you anticipate expanding your program in the near future?
Yes, indeed. Right now, our programs are being held static for lack of space. Our building was designed for a staff of only about 60, but we're now spread throughout the campus. Our space is still limited, and in spite of that, to expand in any one program, we would have to cut back in another. This lack of space also forces us to keep our graduate program down to 30 students. We simply do not have enough space to take on any more. And until we get more laboratory and also office space, we're unable to support any increases in this or any other program.
Well, thank you very much, Professor Mather, for your interesting talk and for taking time to come in and see us today. We've been talking with Professor Keith Mather, Director of the Geophysical Institute at the University of Alaska, on This Is Your University. This Is Your University is a weekly transcribed presentation offered by this station as a public service. The program was produced by the University Relations Office of the University of Alaska in cooperation with the university radio station KUAC. Your announcer has been Paul Quist.
From the University of Alaska at College, Alaska, this is your university. The Good Friday earthquake of 1964 forced the state of Alaska to expend most of its bonding capacity to aid and rehabilitate the distressed areas of the state. Many previously planned projects were put in abeyance, among them a badly needed library, fine arts and humanities facility for the University of Alaska. Today, the need for this facility is even more critical, and funds for its construction are a part of the university bonding proposition, which will be on the state ballot this November. 2 weeks ago, we discussed the expansion programs and problems of the university library. Today, we will discuss the humanities and fine arts programs on This Is Your University. We have with us today Professor Lee Salisbury, head of the Department of Speech, Drama, and Radio. Professor Salisbury, could you explain why the construction of this fine arts and humanities facility is so vital to the university?
Throughout the nation, there's been a tremendous upsurge in enrollment in both the fine arts and the humanities. Here at the university, this increase has been tremendous. Today, the instructional departments in these fields comprise the largest enrollments on our campus. We have many exciting new programs opening in these fields, but all of them are severely limited because of lack of space.
Could you describe a few of these programs for us?
Well, it would be impossible to list them all in the time that we have today, but I'll try to give a sample from each of the departments. In the humanities, we're offering a new journalism major this year. We also have a new Master of Fine Arts program in creative writing, and along with it, our Alaskan Writers Workshop. The Language and Linguistics Department now offers courses in spoken Japanese and uses a very strong language laboratory program so students learn to speak languages as well as to read and to write them.
Well, what about the arts fields?
Well, in the arts fields, of course, the art department now nearly has, I believe, 200 students enrolled in its courses, including 42 in the new Bachelor of Fine Arts program in art. The number of music majors at the university, I believe, has increased about 300% over the last 4 years. And we have very strong programs in this department, which are well known throughout the state, such as the Choir of the North, the University Band, the University Chorus, and the Fairbanks University Community Symphony Orchestra. My own bailiwick, the Department of Speech, Drama, and Radio, has doubled its enrollment, for example, this past semester, and now has a drama lab program where students produce experimental and one-act plays. Of course, the drama workshop is in its 12th year now, and it produces one major play each semester. Many of these plays have toured Alaska. And finally, the University radio station, which we are speaking on today, just recently expanded its operations at station KUH. There's more local programs, including documentaries dealing with contemporary Alaskan problems. And I should add that we're now planning a speech correction program, which is designed to train speech therapists here in Alaska. As many doctors know, nearly 15% of the native population in Alaska suffer from chronic hearing problems. So they need speech therapy to learn to properly hear and reproduce speech sounds so that they can become more adept in English and have a better chance to cope with modern society.
How will the new facility benefit these programs?
Well, many of these programs require specialized facilities that we just don't have. The speech therapy program that I just mentioned, for example, requires interview booths, observation areas, and sound reproduction facilities. We can't really develop the program until we have these facilities. In the meantime, the incidence of hearing loss throughout the state continues to skyrocket. The language and linguistics programs, although they won't be housed in the new facility, require similar specialized areas. The music department needs more teaching studios, practice rooms, storage areas for instruments, and above all, a place to hold performances. The art department is overflowing in its present quarters and needs studios, storage areas, and exhibition areas. And the drama department now gives performances in the Scheibel Lecture Hall, which doesn't have adequate seating and is used so extensively that it's impossible to hold rehearsals there. The student workshop now meets in the attic of the old carpenter shop, which the fire marshal tells me will be torn down next spring. The drama department then needs rehearsal areas, storage areas for props and the like, and like the music department, a place to hold performances. If I could sum it all up, with the new facility, we'd be able to carry on in a far better fashion than we do our existing programs and to provide new programs for the students and for the people of the entire state.
Thank you very much, Professor Salisbury. We've been talking with Professor Lee Salisbury, head of the Department of Speech, Drama, and Radio at the University of Alaska, on This Is Your University. This Is Your University is a transcribed program offered by this station as a public service. The program was produced by the University Relations Office of the University of Alaska in cooperation with the University radio station, KUAC. Your announcer has been Paul Crist.
From the University of Alaska at College, Alaska, this is your university. The University of Alaska is a state university, charged by the state with meeting the higher educational needs of all Alaskans. Students from throughout the state come to the main campus in college to learn and to prepare themselves for the future. But what about those people who can't come to the main campus? People tied down in other Alaskan communities by jobs and families. People who cannot afford to attend school away from home. These Alaskans also want and are entitled to a higher education. It is the mandate of the University of Alaska to provide it. To do so, the university has established 6 community colleges located in Anchorage, Matanuska, Susitna, Kenai, Ketchikan, Sitka, and Juneau Douglas. These community colleges are our story today on This Is Your University. Thank you. The community college program is rapidly becoming more and more popular throughout America. In some areas, the schools are known as junior colleges. Although these schools offer college credits, as do their larger four-year cousins, there are several important differences. Community colleges are commuter colleges. That is, they do not provide dormitory facilities. All their students live at home and commute. The colleges generally offer mostly lower-level college courses, those a student would be likely to take during his first 2 years at a regular university. Another basic feature of most community colleges is that they serve the educational needs of the entire community in which they are located. Thus, these colleges are able to offer more vocational and interest courses and programs designed to train people for particular skills needed in the area in which they live. The University of Alaska began its community college program in 1954 by establishing the Anchorage and Ketchikan schools. The Juneau Douglas Community College was established 2 years later, followed by the Palmer Community College. Now the Matanuska-Susitna Community College in 1961, the Sitka College in 1962, and followed by the Kenai College in 1964. Anchorage is the largest of the six colleges, with a total enrollment this semester of 1,912 students. The colleges offer associate degrees in office administration, the natural sciences, the social sciences, and the humanities. It also offers non-credit programs in areas such as aeronautics, automotive engineering, engineering sciences, and practical nursing. None of the community colleges have their own buildings. The Juneau Douglas College now meets in an old school building. The other colleges all hold classes in local public schools. The university hopes in the near future, however, to construct facilities for the three largest community colleges, Anchorage, Ketchikan, and Juneau Douglas. $5 million for the construction of these facilities is included in the university's bond proposal, which will appear on the November ballot. $4 million will be used to construct an Anchorage Community College Center. The center will provide classrooms, laboratories, library space, shops and offices for the Anchorage Community College, and offices for the Anchorage Regional Center, which coordinates all of the University of Alaska activities in the Anchorage area. The Juneau Douglas and Ketchikan facilities each would cost $500,000. They would house general classrooms, offices, basic science laboratories, and libraries. The community colleges are growing. They are expanding and adapting to meet the needs of the 49th state, offering both college courses and technical courses to train skilled workers for business and industry. Together with the main campus at college, they help the University of Alaska to fulfill its mission of providing higher education to all Alaskans. This is Your University is a weekly transcribed program offered by this station as a public service. The program was produced by the University Relations Office of the University of Alaska in cooperation with the University radio station KUAC. Your announcer has been Paul Quist.
From the University of Alaska at College, this is Your University. Among the questions to face Alaskan voters at the polls November 8th is a $16.9 million general obligation bond proposal to finance the construction of new buildings and facilities for the University of Alaska and its six community colleges. What will these funds be used for? Why are they needed? These are the questions that we will discuss today on This Is Your University. The University of Alaska is a state university charged by the legislature with providing higher education for everyone in the state. In the past 10 years, enrollment has grown rapidly, both on the main campus and at the community colleges throughout the state. On-campus enrollment this semester is 1,876 students, more than three times the number enrolled in 1956. To meet the needs of this soaring enrollment and of a growing state, the university has undergone an expansion program. New academic buildings and dormitories have been constructed. The community college program was established to offer higher education courses for Alaskans who could not leave their communities to attend school at the main campus. The proposed bond issue would continue this program of expansion, needed now more than ever because of the rising enrollments. The bond issue would provide $8,500,000 for a library, humanities, and fine arts complex, $5 million for community colleges facilities in Anchorage, Juneau, and Ketchikan, $2,500,000 in matching funds for a geophysical institute building, and $900,000 for paving roads, walks, and parking areas on the main campus. Construction of the library, humanities, and fine arts complex was originally planned to begin in 1966. However, plans for the complex were shelved when the state had to allocate almost all of its bonding capacity to rehabilitation programs after the Good Friday earthquake in 1964. The present library was designed to house 80,000 books. Today, however, the library has over 140,000 volumes and is adding more at the rate of 25,000 each year. As more books come in, the library will be forced to eliminate portions of the already inadequate seating and study areas to gain additional shelf space. The proposed humanities and fine arts complex would provide badly needed classrooms and office space. It would also provide specialized facilities for programs in such fields as radio, journalism, speech therapy, music, and drama. These programs are now severely hampered because the specialized facilities don't exist. The present Geophysical Institute building was designed to house a staff of 60 persons. Today, the Institute has a staff of 210 and has been forced to find office and laboratories.